Boston Police Commissioner DeGrazia. More news in a minute.
Oh, allergy again. I give up.
Don't give up. Somebody's finally done something new for you, the allergy victim.
It's about time.
This is it. New ARM, allergy relief medicine from Contact. A new way to live with your allergy. ARM works with a new high level of antihistamine. Just one ARM tablet helps provide hours of relief from the allergy symptoms you hate. Sneezing, itchy, weepy eyes, and runny nose. Even allergic sinus congestion. ARM is for better relief when allergy attacks.
Better relief when allergy attacks.
ARM, allergy relief medicine. A new way to live with your allergy.
It's about time.
Take new ARM when needed, only as directed.
Eighteen-year-old Czechoslovak tennis star Martina Navratilova has asked for political asylum in the United States. A spokesman for the State Department says it has given Ms. Navratilova temporary residence here and that she will retain that status until the Immigration and Naturalization Service takes up her case. The spokesman says he has no details on why she asked for asylum. The Czech girl was eliminated in a semifinals match at Forest Hills yesterday by U.S. Open champion Chris Everett. A new Miss America was crowned tonight in Atlantic City, and we have a report from Michael Shawn.
18-year-old Tawny Elaine Godin, Miss New York, who played her own composition on the piano, became the first representative from New York to win the Miss America pageant since Bess Meyerson won it in 1945. She represented New York City. Tawny wins a $15,000 scholarship to pursue her education at Skidmore College in linguistics. As she was announced by Burt Parks in his 21st pageant, tears streaming down her face, she said she's been practicing since she was 5 years old.
I've been doing this ever since I was 5 years old. And it's not
you've been doing what since you've been practicing?
You mean the Miss America, of course.
You mean watching the TV?
Yes, sir.
I never dreamed that you'd be here?
No. I should be good at it by now, though.
The runners-up were Miss North Carolina, California, Ohio, and Arizona. They each win scholarships ranging from $3,000 to $10,000. Michael Schoen for CBS News, Convention Hall, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
More news coming up.
200 years, 200 years has given us something deep inside, has given Marine Corps pride, pride in ourselves, pride in the Corps, and pride in all the Marines.
200 years ago, every Marine was needed full-time. Today, you can be a Marine and serve part-time in a good job at good pay in the Marine Corps Reserve. After basic training, it's 2 days a month near your home and 2 weeks away in the summer. The Marine Corps Reserve. The extra money will come in handy now. The pride will stay with you all your life. Go for pride. See a Marine recruiter.
200 years, 200 years, 200 years.
The Portuguese cabinet has resigned, leaving the country effectively without a government. The resignations were accepted by Portugal's president, Gomes. The move follows last Friday's action, stripping former Premier Gonçalves of any power and forbidding him to assume his newly appointed role as commander of the armed forces. President Gomes has met with leaders of the 6 major political parties to ask their help in forming a new cabinet. The death toll has risen to 1,300 in Saturday's earthquake in Turkey. Officials say a big rescue operation is underway to get medicine and food to those who survived. The worst-hit area, about 550 miles east of the capital. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, AM and FM. The weather outlook, cooler tomorrow and Monday with night and morning low clouds or fog and afternoon clearing. Tomorrow's high lower 70s, upper 60s Monday, lows in the lower 50s. In downtown Seattle, it's currently 67 degrees. And in sports and Major League Baseball activity, in the National League, Pittsburgh over Montreal, St. Louis down the Mets, Chicago beat Philadelphia, Cincinnati edged San Francisco, Atlanta over Los Angeles, and San Diego beat Houston. In the American League, Boston clobbered Milwaukee, Baltimore over New York, Cleveland beat Detroit, Oakland took Texas, Kansas City down California, and Chicago beat Minnesota. In NFL exhibition football, Cincinnati over Detroit 22-14, St. Louis 13, Minnesota 6, Pittsburgh 24, New Orleans 13, Miami beat Chicago 21-10, Buffalo down Atlanta 16-14, Kansas City beat Green Bay 31-3.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. In everyone's life, there's an individual who doesn't fit into the ordinary mold. Most of the time, he's witty, amusing, charming. But always remember, the strength of will, or whatever drives such a person to be able to climb out of the normal rut, is a hidden danger. Disturb his equilibrium, interfere with his own peculiar order of things, and who knows what sleeping giant or remorseless nemesis might be awakened.
Who's here? What are you doing here? Oh, why, it's Mr. No, don't. What have you got in your hand? Oh, no, you can't. Stay away from me, or I'll scream.
Eighth Precinct, Detective Evans. Yeah? Yeah, where?
You got a big one, Evans?
Yes, Sergeant. Suspected homicide, Greenville Hills. Mrs. Gerald Willoughby, garroted.
You mean strangled?
Yeah, like what I just said, sir.
Suspected?
No, sir. She's dead, all right. Somebody made sure of that.
Our mystery drama, Don't Let It Choke You, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Robert L. Greene. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you've set the world, that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here at Red Cross National Headquarters in Washington, D.C., there is a special little place to visit, a small museum reflecting a great many years of service to the American people, a Hall of Mercy. Down this corridor, history comes to life, a history of people helping people. There are photographs, documents, and memorabilia of Red Cross assistance during times of peace, of national crisis, and times of natural disaster. From the Civil War years to the 1970s, great Americans are remembered here. Dedicated Red Cross volunteers who developed the vast blood program, community health and safety programs, in addition to youth service activities, and the list goes on. Yes, this is a special museum. A small tribute to those who are ever extending a helping hand just like a good neighbor. And that's what the Red Cross is all about.
Carlton Isham Nelson Godfrey Fisk is the one and only issue of the marriage of Beecham Fisk of the Boston banking family and Amelia Standing of the Grosse Pointe, Michigan Standings. For reasons not important to this narrative, they made their residence in a Baroque limestone just off Fifth Avenue in New York City. Carlton was brought up strictly to conform to his double birthright. Born late in his parents' union, he suddenly found himself at 20 when his parents died in the flu epidemic, master of their magnificent residence, but unfortunately without liquid assets. Somehow he has managed to maintain his lifestyle for the last 15 years. Just how is the thrust of our tale?
Why, Bascom, still up and about?
Oh, yes, Mr. Fisk. Startled me when your cab pulled up in front of the house.
What were you doing here in the shop?
Oh, just dusting a bit, sir. I often do when you're out for the evening.
You know I don't like anyone disturbing my treasures.
I think you can trust me, sir.
Of course I can, Bascom. You of all people.
May I take your coat, sir?
What? Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with Miss Elliot, I trust?
No, not in the sense you mean. On the other hand, there is a great deal that's not quite right. I finally had to face it once again this evening. So I'm home. Early for me.
Yes. Your bed is turned down, sir. And
I don't feel like retiring yet. This is rather a special evening for me.
Sir?
I finally come to an irrevocable decision. The lure is not worth the chase. The cornering of the hunted brings no exultation. It's all illusion. There is no woman alive to share my life. I have decided that I am now a confirmed bachelor, and to hell with matrimony and the perpetuation of the line. I'm going to stay here in the shop and sit among my antiques. They offer beauty and permanence, and they ask nothing in return.
Yes, sir. Would you like me to bring you a drink, sir?
Of hemlock or the waters of Lethe?
Well, I take it Miss Elliot will not be here for dinner tomorrow?
No, she won't. I'm sorry to say Lucille suddenly revealed herself. In spite of her own riches and already unconscionable collection of jewelry, she's acquisitive, greedy, and totally unprincipled. Ah, the witching hour, as sung to us by the rosewood clock. No drink, thanks, Bascom. You can turn in. I want to be alone.
Yes, Mr. Fisk. Good night, sir. Rest well.
I will, for the next 2 hours. And don't let anything disturb me.
Yes, sir.
The rosewood clock, the key to my existence. I crossed quickly to a magnificent 17th century armoire that I have prized so high I hope no one will ever buy it. From a secret recess, I drew out the precious dark green bottle and held it to the light. My heart failed when I saw how little of the liqueur was left. I poured a precious drop or two into a glass, drank, and went to sit in my Venetian armchair, facing the rosewood clock, waiting, waiting. The years rushed back once again to the very lowest point of my life after the sudden death of my parents. In this very room, I had sat in the same chair, drinking from the same bottle, watching the highly polished convex face of the rosewood clock's pendulum swing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until suddenly, reflected in its shining brass face, there was Wanda, smiling at me.
Come to me, darling, for a little while. You're safe, and I want to talk to you.
But you're dead. You're not alive anymore.
Always, always I live on in you, Carlton.
Those years ago, I did come back, and between selling some antiques from the house and investing the money in the market, guided by some incredibly fortunate guesses, I wiped out my debts and became well-to-do again. But I knew where my strength lay and where it came from. And from time to time, I would return to sip from the square green bottles and watch the clock that brought me a magic hour with Wanda. What is this place, Wanda?
Don't you remember? That first summer we met and my father had the farm?
Of course. A bright blue sky, not a cloud.
And we wandered hand in hand down to the mill stream.
There were daisies. A whole field of daisies.
And you told me you loved me.
And we kissed.
And afterwards, you lay with your head in my lap. And we said it would last for eternity.
Only it didn't. The bottle is almost empty. Our visits grow shorter and shorter. What can I do?
Believe.
Believe? Me? Cynic of the cynics? With all romance buried? Bachelor of bachelors? No, Wanda. It's too late.
It's never too late.
Spare me the cliches. Or even you.
Or even I might turn out to be less than perfect. I never claimed to be. You are the perfectionist.
Are we quarreling?
Never. Just speaking as openly as we may. Oh, my darling, you're getting to be a hard-shelled old crustacean.
Environmental protection. My reputation is enviable. I'm a cynic with a waspish sense of wit and an infallible instinct how to penetrate the armor of others. It's been quite a life lately. I've had to learn to kill not only the enemy, but those who try to take advantage of the love I seem to be able to bring no one. Wanda, why did you leave me?
It wasn't my choice. And I haven't. Yet.
What do you mean, yet?
Well, I won't be forever. You know that, Carlton. You will find someone else. Perhaps there will be a lot of me in her, even if you don't recognize it. Have faith, my darling. Perhaps she's closer and nearer than you think. You are due for a surprise beyond anything you could imagine. It's time to forget me. And time to stop killing everyone you love.
I fled for Europe and a long buying trip. 3 months later, I returned to be awakened the following morning, dull with jet lag, by... Come.
A telegram for you, sir.
Let me see it.
It was phoned in, sir. I took it thinking it might not be important enough to wake you.
And since you have, I may assume that it was.
Yes, sir. Your cousin Ralph has died rather suddenly.
Cirrhosis of the liver, no doubt.
Well, the cause was not mentioned, but he has left you something.
Ralph? He owed everyone, including the local minister. I've always suspected the only reason he was an inveterate churchgoer was to pilfer from the offertory. Left me what?
Something you apparently agreed to sometime in the past.
Let me see that. Good Lord. So he did. Flat out of cash. On my way, signed Jerry.
Yes. You're apparently a guardian.
Of some junior citizen named Jerry. And I thought I was a free man. My mother's side. Some sort of a cousin. And now his child is my responsibility?
Legally or morally, sir?
Morally is enough. But what am I going to do with this young man when he gets here?
Well, there are plenty of guest rooms.
I suppose so. Make up whatever seems reasonable, and let's pray he's not pimply-faced or acneed. Excellent, Bascom. I wouldn't normally open it, but I'm just a little afraid of this year. Pour me a little so I may taste it.
Yeah, enough, sir.
Now, let's see. A naive little wine, but with its own slight urgency.
Yes, sir.
A sort of invitation to the dance, as one might say.
Pardon, sir?
Literary allusion. Alice in Wonderland. The whiting to the snail. We are having whiting tonight.
Yes, sir. With sauce bechamel.
Excellent. Now, for the wine, the Rothschild Lafitte. Not the 69, of course. The 73 will do. A middling year. But my nephew is young enough not to be able to detect our little deception.
17, did you say, sir?
Just about.
Yes, sir.
I know quite how you feel. There really is no room at all in this well-ordered existence of ours for some young high school boy. But you'll have to pack him off to school somewhere.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Fisk. But I am sorry about your cousin's death.
We don't have to dwell on that.
What time will the young gentleman be here, sir?
Any moment, according to the second telegram. Arriving by car, 7:30 tonight. Right on, Uncle Carlton. See you then.
Right on.
The language of our times, an expression of approval, vulgarly stated.
Well, let's hope the young gentleman will meet with your approval, sir.
I'm not sure. I don't like stones thrown in my life pool unexpectedly.
Yes. Well, I'd better go down and check on the bechamel. It needs tender care. What is the young gentleman's name, sir?
My cousin's name was Forbes. The offspring is Jerry. Short for Gerald, I suppose. Or possibly Jerome.
Thank you, sir. I'll have everything in readiness for an 8 o'clock dinner.
Right on.
I beg your pardon, sir.
The insidiousness of slang. One can never be too careful. Yes, at 8 precisely.
Right on, sir.
Come.
Mr. Fisk, your relation has arrived.
Well, see his bags to his room and show him in, Bascom.
Yes, sir. Begging your pardon, sir, there is another person in accompaniment.
Dear me, male or female?
Well, it's so hard to tell these days, sir. Male, I believe, but that's only a speculation.
I see. Long hair, but facially non-hirsute?
That's right, sir. Neither is bearded.
Blue jeans, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
Not leather jackets with the studs and decals, I hope.
Exactly, sir. Yours has a beaded headband and a feather.
And tinted glasses?
I'm afraid so, sir.
Very well. Show them in.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fisk is expecting you now.
You my uncle?
You are the offspring of my cousin Gertrude.
Yeah. Oh, if that means like she was my mother.
You're younger than I expected.
17.
And your voice hasn't broken yet.
Huh?
A boy's voice undergoes a normal change during puberty. It moves from the higher ranges to...
Hey, hold up, man. You got some kind of idea I'm a male?
Well, Jerry is...
Man, you are way out. Jerry for Gertrude. Same name as my mom. Don't you know a woman when you see one, Uncle?
A woman? I tried to keep my face a mask. But behind my eyes, blood-red rage seared them. This vulgar, wretched little guttersnipe was twitting me, laughing at me, traducing every sensibility of my life. My long search for beauty and perfection. I could have killed her. At that very moment, strangled her for invading my life.
The killer lies buried in all of us, and buried less deep than we imagined, until the right circumstances reveal him. Man's special curse, the only member of the animal kingdom who kills for passion, without reason or the excuse for survival. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. The big contest we've been holding with Walt Disney World is over. Winner of the top prize in this final week is Mrs. William G. Canary of Braintree, Massachusetts, who's a regular listener to Mystery Theater over WEEI Boston. Congratulations to you and to the 100 runners-up who will soon be wearing their new Mickey Mouse watches. We appreciate so much the thousands and thousands of cards we've received during these past 4 weeks. Congratulations to the winners, and thank you all for writing.
It's almost the end of a car model year, and the dealers are talking about fantastic deals. But before you start your shopping, check the mileage ratings published by the government. 10 gallons of gas in a top-rated car can carry you an extra 180 miles in the city and 250 miles farther on the highway than the lowest-rated car. So send for the 1975 miles per gallon ratings. It's free from Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, zip code 81009.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
Take
call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
A strange confrontation. Two young people of today and a hidebound Bostonian. A man who had intellectually decided to turn his back on woman as a companion and to become a bachelor recluse. And now he faces the fact that the ward he has committed himself to be legal guardian of is a female.
It was, I suppose, only a second or so, but it seemed an eternity. All my years of searching for a woman to share my life, a woman such as I had lost. And now to find that this slovenly child with the long, tangled hair and dirty fingernails, the skin-tight jeans, the cheap beads, and the ludicrous hussar boots, and the face marred by the corpse-colored lipstick and the blue eyeshadow. For the first time in my life, I was speechless.
You want to check me out, Uncle? Ask Cokie here. Hey, that's right. I want you to meet Cokie, who drove me here. Meet my uncle, or some kind of relative, Mr. Fisk.
Cokie? Ah, yes, of course. Pleased to meet you. Mister?
You got any notions about old Cokie here? Forget it. Say hello to the man.
Hi, Fisk, man. Crazy joint you run here. Crazy.
Crazy?
Yeah, far out, man. Hey, hit me with some skin.
Just shake hands. Cokie likes the house.
I'm certainly flattered.
Am I really going to stay with you, Uncle? What do I call you?
My first name is Carlton.
That's kind of stuffy. We got to find something better. Hey, if I'm staying, can we find a pad for Cokie here? See, he's out of gas, and then we have no bread, and anyway, he always went for the Big Apple.
The Big Apple?
New York. Where it's at. Kind of excited myself. Ah, man, this place is way out. Those rooms downstairs. Once I took a peek in when you were cooling our heels. Cokie, you dig that crazy stuff.
Yeah, right? Real cool. Looked like a cross between my Aunt Emma's barn and the old clubhouse down by the garbage dump.
You got some kind of a gig going down there, Uncle Fizz?
Uncle Fizz?
Yeah. Everybody's got to have his own special name, dig? My name is Cochrane Ryder, the second. What kind of name is that? So, Cokie, Gertrude, Jerry, Fisk, Fizz. Hey, man, what is all that old jazz down there anyways? You sell junk?
Junk?
Oh, he doesn't mean horse, grass, bannies like that. He means old things like the Goodwill or the Salvation Army.
I sell antiques, yes, to a very private and select clientele.
You don't say.
Hey, I think being around here is going to be kicks. How about you, Cokie?
I ain't exactly got the glad hand yet, baby.
Come.
Dinner is served, Mr. Fisk, whenever you're ready.
I think the sooner the better, Bascom. Oh, and you'd better set an extra place.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ryder will be joining us.
Aw, gee. How swell are you, Uncle Fisk?
After all, he did chauffeur you all the way down from upstate.
Look, no sense in getting an uproar about me. I could easily grab a couple of beers and a big smack down to the corner.
I wouldn't think of it. You must be my guest.
Well, okay. If the old woman wants it, you twisted my arm. Let's go load up.
The dinner was an absolute disaster. When the white wine was served...
Oh, wow. That tastes like vinegar. You got any sangria or a cola?
I could go for a beer myself.
With a sauce bechamel?
You mean this gooey stuff? Oh, it didn't turn out so good, huh? Hey, why don't we send out for a pizza?
I won't ravage you with the rest of it. Suffice to say, as soon as the horror was over, I fled for bed and left Bascom to find somewhere for Cokie. The very name catches in my throat. To bed down. By the following morning, I felt almost myself as the bell to my antique establishment announced one of my favorite and most lucrative customers, Mrs. Willoughby from Westchester.
Exquisite. Absolutely exquisite.
A veritable gem. An escritoire par excellence.
Of course, I can't see it very well. My eyes are not what they were.
Allow me to see it for you. The wood is sycamore with gilt bronze mounts. The top of the writing table itself is marble, inlaid with plaques of Sèvres porcelain. Undoubtedly Louis XIV.
Louis the XIV?
The sun god himself.
How much?
For a treasure like this?
I want it.
They're like my children. I hate to part with them. If I told you what this has actually been appraised by my peers, but then you are an old and valued customer. I must make what accommodation I can. Shall we say $10,000?
That's a lot of money.
But then it is one of a kind. Excuse me. Yes, Bascom?
The mail, sir, it just arrived.
Put it over there, please.
Yes, certainly, sir.
I'll take the desk. As soon as possible.
Any accommodation you desire.
Well, I will be in Saratoga for a few days.
You make the time.
Say next Thursday. It will be cash as usual. You know my quirks. I don't trust banks. $10,000. Oh, are these your new delivery boys?
Why?
Hi, I'm Uncle Fizz's newest antique. I'm his ward, Jerry. This here's my old man, Cokie. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Well, I can't say the same. Mr. Fisk, I've never questioned your taste before. But really, riffraff like this, it's enough to shake my judgment in you and others of your customers, too. Good morning.
Did I say something wrong?
Bascom.
Yes, sir.
Go after Mrs. Willoughby and make sure she gets in her car all right.
Yes, sir.
Did you say something wrong? Did you say... It isn't just what you say, my dear. It's what you are. You are wrong. That's the problem. You simply do not fit. You've got to go.
I know, man. Let's not get to throwing our weight
around. Hey, lay out, Corky. Who asked you in? I'll handle this myself.
Okay. That's the way you want it. You got it.
Now, Uncle Fizz, let's you and me get it on the table. There's a court order you got to take care of me till I'm of age. I'm buying that for the next year because I go for some of what's here.
You mean you're waking up to the fact that it's time for the leopard to change her spots?
Oh, not me. Maybe you. I ain't changing my lifestyle till I'm good and ready, if ever. But you, you sure could use a few changes in yours. So I'm sticking, just as long as I can.
I stared in dismay at this defiant child. My only thought was to rid myself of her, at least for the moment. I sent her away. I had to be alone. I closed my door after hanging out my sign, tastefully rendered in intaglio on a plaque of cherry wood. The legend read, Mr. Fisk regrets that pressing affairs require his absence for the next 2 hours. Then I sat down, the dark green bottle in hand, waiting for the rosewood clock to strike the hour.
Wow, Mr. Bascom, what a super kitchen.
Yes, Miss Walton, it is rather nice.
And all those lovely copper pots hanging overhead. You use all them?
I suppose I have at one time or another. You mind if I keep on? I'm preparing lunch and dinner, too.
Oh, that's all right. Could I help?
Oh, I bless you. No, no, no. Everything under control.
You could help me.
Huh? Could I? How?
Well, I like it here. And I like Uncle Fitz. I like my uncle.
Why doesn't he like me?
Excuse me, miss. I've got to chop these onions. It's just that, well, you see, he's, sort of off women, as you might say.
I don't dig you. I mean, I don't understand. He's pretty damn attractive and sexy. So why?
Well, quite a long time ago, when we were in the army together, he was going to be married to a girl, and she was killed in a car crash before he ever got back from overseas.
How long ago?
Oh, Lord, pretty near 15 years.
And he hasn't liked women since then?
No, not him. He's the most eligible bachelor in New York.
Why, Bascom, you're crying.
Not me, ma'am. Just the onions. You too.
No. It isn't the onions with me. I'm sad for anyone who's haunted by ghosts. I got my own closet full. Cokie! I thought you cut out.
I meant to, then I got to thinking. I was just about to ring the doorbell when you came out.
Oh, I just wanted some air.
Want a ride?
Uh-uh.
Walk?
No. Just sit here for a moment on the stoop.
Oh, I'll sit with you. Hey, look, Jerry, I got to thinking. You buy all that jazz? The old lady with the 10 grand in cash for a piece of crud you can pick up at the Goodwill for 25 bucks?
What's your drift?
Well, I don't know myself. Blackmail? Horse? A bag man for the numbers.
Who?
Your Uncle Fish.
Don't call him that.
Okay, he's off. I'm just trying to figure maybe we could have a good thing going here.
We?
I need you to cut in whatever's cooking.
And I need you to cut out.
Well, what do you got? The hots for a guy old enough to be your father?
That's all you'd figure. It's not that way. Anyways, he isn't all that old. Why don't you just bug off?
I don't figure what you're hanging around for. What can you get out of it but a short term in Dullsville?
Well, maybe that's what I need. Maybe that's what I really want.
Okay, baby, it's your life. But there's something screwy about this whole scene. Maybe you'll get more than you bargained for.
Anything new in the old Willoughby, Dame Evans?
Nothing much to go on, Sergeant. Except for one thing.
Yeah, what?
You remember I made a point she wasn't strangled? She was like, garroted?
Yeah, with some kind of wire.
Yeah, right. Something rang a bell and I checked around. First thing I dig up is an open file on the 20th. A few months ago, a woman named Lillian Elliott was found dead in the same way.
Yeah?
Turned out to be a fancy hooker. No leads. Just on a hunch, I had Central Files punch up the computer. Then I turn up two more in the last 10 years taken out the same way.
Yeah? Anything else to tie them together?
Nope. First was an Ellen Parkins, American. But it happened in Paris. She was a 30-year-old artist. The second was 4 years later in the village, 6th Precinct. Woman around 25 in the antique jewelry business.
How old was the hooker?
34, maybe 35. Good looker, but getting a little old for the game.
And an 80-year-old society Betty worth millions who kept it all in cash and safety deposit boxes in her apartment, pinned to the drapes, and folded up between old newspapers in the basement. Is she the only one robbed?
Yeah, as far as we know.
Yeah, well, there's not much of a pattern there. Where do we go from here?
I keep digging. I don't know why, but I smell one guy in all of these. And I ain't gonna let him get away with it.
It was a long wait. The pendulum swings in its gentle arc. I can feel her presence coming closer, closer. Feel myself floating back into that special world of peace and beauty. Her back is turned to me as I call. And she turns. But it is no longer Wanda's face I see. It's the face of the slovenly, mocking little witch I have taken into my house. Bad enough she invades my waking life. I will not let her spoil what few dreams I have left. Old instincts explode, and I reach towards her, ready to strangle her for daring to try to take Wanda's place.
A curious story about a curious man who lives a secret life with a phantom woman. What is he seeking? And does his dream life drive him to destroy any woman who seeks to invade it? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a girl, I had certain aspirations for myself that were not quite the same as the aspirations that others had for me. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be president.
That's nice, honey.
Of what?
The United States.
Don't be ridiculous, dear. The best you can hope for is first lady.
Even when I got older, things weren't much better. Dad, I want to go to law school and have my own practice.
But, dear, wouldn't you rather go to charm school and have a big wedding?
But today, a woman can do anything a man can. Take the car I just bought, a Buick Century. Not cute, but sporty and good-looking. The kind of car only men are supposed to know about. When I told my father the Century was the only American-made mid-sized car with a V6 engine, he was surprised. When I told him about the great deal I got on the Century, he was impressed and said, I would make somebody a good wife. Then when I told him I was running for Congress, he bit off the arm of his chair.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Controlled hypnosis is a parascience and a valuable tool in psychiatric medicine. But self-hypnosis is something else again. For the limiting factor of hypnosis ordinarily is that the subject will not do anything ordered by the control, which is against his own desires. But where there is no control, except the subject himself, perhaps we're about to find the answer.
No! What are you doing?
I won't let you take Wander away from me. No one can take my...
God, it's me. Wander, let me go.
Wander? I thought...
You thought I was your ward.
Jerry, yes.
Why would you think that?
I thought I saw someone else's face instead of yours.
Perhaps you did.
What do you mean?
It's lasted far too long, Carlton. Far too long. It's time for me to go.
No, no.
Yes, yes, my dear.
But I love you.
And I love you. But all things come to an end. It's finished, my darling. Finished. Better it's finished for me than for the others. For the others.
Yes. Who is it?
Begging your pardon, sir, but there's someone to see you.
You know very well I never see anyone when the sign is out.
Yes, sir. But this gentleman is from the police, sir.
Police? Oh, very well. Just a moment. Yes, what is it?
My credentials, Mr. Fisk. Detective Evans, 20th Precinct. I'll get right to the point. Do you know Mrs. Beatrice Willoughby, 120 Sutton Place?
Of course. She's an old and valued customer. I had a desk delivered to her mansion only this morning. Now, don't tell me anything's happened. It's a priceless antique.
If it's the desk you're worried about, no. But that's what brought me here.
Mrs. Willoughby?
Yes, sir. She's dead.
Heart?
No, sir. She was strangled and robbed.
Oh, how terrible.
I should really say, garroted.
That's a strange word for you to use.
Is it?
Well, it has rather a specific meaning.
Yeah, that's why I used it. It wasn't a stocking, for example, or a rope. Definitely a wire, used very expertly.
Are you, by any remote chance, suggesting that I had anything to do with that?
I'm not suggesting anything. Just doing my job. You were with the Green Berets, weren't you, sir?
Yes, for 3 years. And I'll anticipate you and say that part of my training was the technique you were describing. But if you think... Detective Evans, was it?
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Willoughby owed me $10,000. I would scarcely, if you will forgive the praise, do her in before I was paid, would I?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm only collecting information. Do you recall knowing an Ellen Parkins?
I most certainly do. I knew her in Paris, 10 years ago. Great talent as an artist, but I lost touch. I've often wondered what happened to her.
She was found in her studio, dead, garroted.
Good Lord, no. When?
10 years ago. Were you also acquainted with a Judith Carlin? Sort of, in your business?
Yes, she was in antique jewelry. Had an unerring sense of taste about jewelry, but not about her friends, shall we say. Don't tell me that she...
Yes, sir. About 5 years ago. Garroted. No, sir, Miss Lillian Elliott.
Oh, no. Not Lillian. What is this? Some psychedelic dream? It can't be happening.
Bascom, what are you up to? You look like you're eavesdropping.
I was just closing the door. See the sign?
Oh, no. I wanted to have a talk with my guardian.
Well, you can't interrupt him now. He has a very important guest. Come along.
Oh, okay. Pesky, okay. But easy on my arm. You got some grip there.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Let's go in the kitchen, ma'am. I have my work to do.
Well, let me help a little.
No, there's nothing for you to do.
Well, there's a whole lot for me to do. I've decided to be a permanent guest. That is, as long as I'm allowed to be permanent.
Just what do you mean by that, Miss Jerry?
Well, look. You really love Carl. I mean, my guardian, don't you?
We've been through a lot together, he and I. Yes, Miss Jerry. I love him like the son I never had. I'd do anything for him.
Well, that's the way I feel. Oh, I know it'll seem silly to you, except... Well, maybe you're the only person in my whole life who could understand. You see, my mother was a drunk. And my father was a deadbeat. So I had to develop a shell hard enough so I didn't curl up and die. But I don't need that anymore. I love him. And not like an uncle. Like a woman.
But you're only seven...
Age is relative. If I'd let my parents shape my life, I'd be 117 going on 18. Age doesn't mean anything anymore. Oh, Juliet was 16. Charlie Chaplin, he's about 90. Casals, Picasso. A man is a man as long as he wants to be. And Bas, I'm in love. I love him just as much as you. We're the same.
No, not quite. You said I had a strong grip. Well, that's because I've been conditioned all my life. I was a commando during World War II. Special Service Force in Korea, then Vietnam. That's where I met Mr. Fisk. He's like a son to me, as I told you, and I protect him even with my life.
You don't think I feel the same?
I'd like to say something, if I may. Perhaps it would be safer for us all if you get out of the master's life right away.
For a long time after the police officer left, I lay sunk in my chair,
My mind, a kaleidoscope of the past. He had forced nothing. I had admitted nothing. But he had shaken me. I went to the armoire and unlocked it. There was the leaden green bottle with its final few magic drops to seek Wanda again. Then I opened another compartment. Within it were the tools of death I'd never been able to throw away. The most prominent and of focal interest for the moment was the wire garrote with its handholds that, to the best of my belief, had been shut away since my last patrol. Holding it, my hands were shaking and my stomach was ice. Had I? Was it possible, under self-hypnosis, that I had used it against the women who proved less than perfect? I might have believed that, except for poor dear Mrs. Willoughby. I had a sudden urge for air, to breathe, to walk, to think outdoors. Carelessly, I thrust things away, pushed the armoire door shut without locking it, and left.
Uncle Carlton? Carlton? Are you in there?
Shut up!
Rascal!
I told you to leave, Miss Cherry. What are you doing in that dress?
I haven't really got anything of my own. I mean, like this. I found it upstairs. What's that in your hands?
I'm sorry, Miss Cherry. But you couldn't help him either. You just couldn't measure up. You'd let him down like all the rest. And I won't allow that to happen. He's special, you see. Very special. Nobody but me knows that. And those of you who don't know how special he is have to be eliminated. Don't be afraid. It doesn't really hurt, and it's only for a moment.
No! No, Bascom, you're crazy!
Hold it, Bascom. The garrote. You.
Only because of you, Carlton.
You mean Judith, Ellen, Lillian?
They let you down. I never did.
But Beatrice Willoughby, why poor Mrs. Willoughby?
That was an accident. You remember how you and I first met?
Yes, in training.
And I had a certain weakness.
The ponies.
You bailed me out then. My life wasn't worth a nickel. You made one stipulation.
That you would lay off them for good.
Yes, sir. I broke my word some years ago. I did all right for a while, and then it all ran bad. When Mrs. Willoughby bought the desk, and I knew that all that cash was loose around her house, I thought I'd found my way out. Only she didn't go away as she promised. And she discovered me robbing her. The rest was reflex action.
Oh, Bascom.
For me, nothing. I'm old enough, it doesn't matter. And I deserve it. I think you'd better call the police so I can set the record straight.
Fizz?
Yes, Gertrude?
Are we doing the right thing?
I can't answer that. Once, I wanted to be a Pygmalion to your Galatea. I wanted to mold and change you.
Oh, that's okay with me.
Except that it backfired. You changed me. You took 10 years off my age, which still makes me 35. But that makes me young enough.
Well, considering I was the oldest 17-year-old you ever knew.
From ward to wife. It's quite a jump.
Well, if you don't risk the big ones, you don't end up a winner.
A strange twist, but a nice one. Two lost souls found each other, and a life that could have been denied them so easily. And Bascom, for whom there are no excuses, died while awaiting trial from a sudden massive heart attack. The best and kindest thing he could do for both Carlton and Jerry. Their backgrounds alone were enough to make a human relationship a problem without the complication of Bascom's misguided help. I'll be back shortly.
like the way the forest sounds. The way the leaves rustle in the wind and fall to the ground and crunch under your feet. The way the birds sing and the chipmunks chatter. The way a squirrel scrambles up a tree. I like the way the forest smells, too. Air's fresh. And you can tell the difference between one kind of tree and another just by smelling them. But did you know we can destroy all that beauty in just one careless second? That's why I'm asking you to please be careful with fire. Because when we lose a forest, we lose a lot more than meets the eye. I ought to know. I'm Ray Charles.
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council. Just a glance at the long view for people who agonize over age gaps or any other fancied objection to a long-term relationship or a marriage. As life, or fate, as you prefer to believe, arranged it, it was actually Jerry who died before Carlton. But not before they had had over 30 full years between them. The Lord giveth and taketh away, but if you believe in him hard enough, the odds are on your side. Our cast included Robert L. Green, Jennifer Harmon, Court Benson, Ann Petoniak, and Larry Robinson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Did you hear something?
Not a damn thing.
Don't talk anymore. Just let me get a look through the door and...
Good Lord.
I can't understand why you're so glum this evening. You seem happy enough this afternoon.
Then it's Claudia. Can't you see her? She's come back. It's Claudia.
Dear God. It's Claudia, all right.
Shh, be quiet. They'll hear you.
I don't think so, Martha. I don't think they can hear us.
It's not as if I dragged you out here or something.
You might as well have. You knew I didn't want to come.
It can't be. Can that... That man looks like you.
Yes.
But it can't be.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. The difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Czechoslovak tennis star Martina Navratilova has asked for and is expected to get political asylum in the United States. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A spokesman for the State Department says that Ms. Navratilova will be able to stay here until her request for asylum is considered. A spokesman for the Immigration and Naturalization Service says that processing her application will be very routine and that if she wants to stay in the U.S., she will be allowed to. Ms. Navratilova is here for the U.S. Open tennis tournament in Forest Hills. She was defeated in the semifinals on Friday by Chris Everett. She and Ms. Everett are frequent doubles partners. More news coming up.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Jane Franklin Meekham. CBS News correspondent Mariah McLaughlin has a letter for you.
I'm writing, Mrs. Meekham, to say I'm sorry the history books give all the glory to your brother, Benjamin Franklin. Obviously, you had a mind of your own, and I'm sure you'd approve of the way women today are free of so many frustrations which shackled you.
Listen to Mariah McLaughlin's letter to Jane Franklin Meekham, one of 30 letters to the American past, delivered by CBS News correspondents the weekend of Saturday, September 20th, and Sunday, September 21st. Daniel Shore will address Nathan Hale. Charles Collingwood writes to Aaron Burr. Nelson Benton would like to get in touch with John Hancock. And Dallas Townsend has a word for Major Andre. These and many more letters to the American past on our next big bicentennial special, Saturday, September 20th, and Sunday, September 21st, over the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford has scheduled a meeting with congressional leaders on Monday to discuss compromise in the decontrol of domestic oil prices. Mr. Ford talked the issue over with some Democratic senators on Saturday. Alabama's John Sparkman came away from the White House saying that the president might be willing to accept a 30 to 45 day extension of controls in order to give Congress time to work out a plan to phase out controls over 39 months. Before discussing the oil situation, the senators asked President Ford for details about Friday's apparent assassination attempt against him in Sacramento. According to Press Secretary Ron Nessen, Mr. Ford gave the senators a very brief account of the incident. In Sacramento, U.S. Attorney Dwayne Keyes said at a news conference that the owner of the gun used in the attempt has been located, but that's as far as he would go, according to White House correspondent Phil Jones.
Keyes, for legal reasons, would not reveal the gun owner's name. All he would say was that the gun, which was a .45 caliber automatic pistol, an early 1900 model, did not have a criminal history, and that the owner was apparently aware that Lynette Alice Fromm had the weapon. He said he did not expect that the owner of the gun would be charged. Also, it was revealed that .45 caliber ammunition was found at the Sacramento home of Ms. Fromm during a search by federal and state officials. They would not say exactly where the ammunition was found in the home. According to Keyes, so far in the investigation, there is no evidence to suggest that there was a conspiracy in the attempted assassination of President Ford. Phil Jones, CBS News, Sacramento.
Police in Louisville arrested about 25 people Saturday night after a crowd of mostly young people gathered in cars at Southern High School, the scene of anti-busing violence the night before. But there was nothing like the violence that occurred Friday, in which more than 300 people were arrested and 50 injured. National Guardsmen have been called in to prevent a recurrence of that violence. In Boston, National Guardsmen are getting ready to help in case of violence on Monday when school opens under a new busing plan there. State and city police will also be on hand, although a sick-in by some city police may cause some problems. More news after this.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right, people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves a point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
One of two infant twins whose parents refused permission for a blood transfusion on religious grounds has died in spite of a court-ordered transfusion. The baby died on Saturday in a Pensacola hospital from what a spokesman called a complication of problems following her premature birth. The other twin, who also received a transfusion, is reported in critical but stable condition. A new study by the Social Security Office says that an average American housewife would earn about $5,500 a year if she were paid prevailing wages for her daily chores. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.